Thank you, Dieter. Okay, so as you have already know the title of the presentation, Huming cannot be here, so I'll be speaking in front of, on behalf of him. So as you can see, aortic stiffness plays a crucial role in diagnosing different diseases. Among them, one of them is abdominal aortic aneurysm, which is nothing but an abnormal dilation of the aorta in a certain region where, as you can see, the aorta is enlarged. Oh, okay, I'm pointing at a wrong, okay. Aorta is enlarged and this can rupture at any time and it can be life-threatening as well. So usually any enlargement greater than 3 centimeters is considered to be the aneurysm. And approximately up to 90% of the patients, they cannot survive during the AAA rupture, and most of them, they can lead to death as well. So which is a critical condition, and this aortic aneurysm goes undiagnosed if because it is symptomless, no one gets screened, and it is occasionally during their routine checkups, they get scanned and they find out they have aneurysm, so which is a serious condition. So what are the current techniques to really go and evaluate this? Diameter has been the criteria. However, there are certain limitations. For example, in a low, when we call low risk triplets, the diameter is less than 5.5 centimeters. And what they do is the physicians keep on monitoring these aneurysms over time. And then whenever the diameter grows more than 5.5 centimeters, then they say this is high risk. And lead to a surgical repair, which is endovascular aneurysm repair. Previously, it used to be an open surgical repair. What they do is they go and open your middle section, and then they try to suture it with some stents, and so that you can control the aneurysm growth. However, nowadays they have an endovascular aneurysm repair, which means they send a catheter to your femorals and all the way into the abdominal aorta, and they can put the stent without any invasive procedures. However, both the aneurysms are risk because people, we have noticed that over the years that the low risk AAAs also rupture, but at the same time, high risk AAAs also remain stable. So the idea is that diameter should not be the criteria anymore. And these are the studies that have shown that. And therefore, we think that the rigidity of the aortic wall plays a crucial role in terms of the diagnosing the AAA rupture. So what is happening during the aneurysm formation? What is happening is over the time, the elastin and elastin degrades and the collagen deposits over the time, and which causes an increase in stiffness. But as the aneurysm develops, the collagen and ECM also degrades, therefore leading to stiffness decrease, and that can eventually lead to AAA rupture. So therefore, aortic stiffness can play an important role to provide a better risk evaluation. So in order to really go and identify the AAA rupture potential, you need to have a spatially and temporally available estimate of stiffness. The reason why we say that is spatially you need to know where the aneurysm can rupture. At the same time, in the aorta during the cardiac cycle, the pressure changes, and you have to also even understand the pressure variations that are leading to the rupture potential. So magnetic resonance elastography can provide that information, which can provide you the spatially and temporally estimate of stiffness. Again, as Armando has already talked in the morning session, again, I'm terming it as stiffness. Excuse me for this, but here we are really measuring the wave speed squares by using an LFE algorithm. So the current sequences that we have used so far is a retrospectively gated gradient echo sequences. And as you can see, here are the parameters that we have been using so far. And we were able to collect 3 slices. And we were able to collect all 8 cardiac phases across the cardiac cycle. And it has a segmented acquisition, which means you share 8 views to reconstruct a cardiac phase. So here are some examples. As you can see, this is an animal model that we have created. Sorry, what happened? Okay, finally back. Okay. So as you can see, this is an aneurysm model that we have created at Ohio State University. Okay. Sorry, this is playing with me. As you can see here, during the baseline, these are the stiffness measurements that we obtained. But after fourth week of aneurysm creation, you can see the stiffness increased in these animal models. And this is where the aneurysm was created. And this, for this, we have used a gradient echo based sequence, the same gradient echo based sequence that I have talked about. Okay. And here is an example in one of the volunteers, the patients. We routinely scan these patients across 6 months during the each visit, and you can see beautifully the waves propagating in the aneurysms, and obtain a stiffness map during the each visit. And you can see in his third visit, the stiffness was a little bit higher compared to the earlier visits. I think now it is stable, yeah. Yeah, thank you. So however, there are certain limitations of this gradient echo sequence. The reason is, let me tell you the disadvantage right now, is because of the short TE, it is more sensitive to the T2 star effects and also low signal to noise ratio. And at the same time, when you have a high body mass index, the penetration of the waves into the deep body, when someone with a high body mass index, it becomes a little more challenging. So, and at the same time, we need more number of slices to be acquired because we want a whole 3D wave propagation in the aorta, because the aorta structure itself is very complicated and the waves are not planar anymore. So the aim of the study is to perform some feasibility study using a spin echo EPI sequence and compare it to the gradient echo sequence, which we have been routinely using over the years. So we developed something called the cardiac gated spin echo EPI sequence, where we used a trigger delay of 100 milliseconds and matched to the number of cycles are matched to the RR interval. And here are the parameters, as you can see here, and where we can collect all the three slices within a breath hold. And the reason why we chose this 100 milliseconds as a trigger delay is to avoid any flow artifacts in the aorta. So these are, again, one-to-one flow, MEG flow compensated. So any flow motion coming from the flow can be avoided using this sequence. And we also use a fractional encoding scheme. As here you can see that we have just performed a feasibility study in 4 healthy volunteers in a 3T TIM Trio scanner and with a 70 hertz mechanical waves and 120 hertz motion encoding gradients. And this is our data analysis as we take the MRE images and perform the ROI selection and then perform the directional filtering and the first harmonic amplitudes and perform the LFEs as well as the stiffness estimates. So here is an example using a gradient echo sequence that was performed in one of the volunteers, and this is the mean stiffness value that we have obtained, and this is the spin echo echoplanar sequence that we have developed, and these are the waves propagating in the aorta, and you can see the stiffness value was pretty close to what we have got using the gradient echo sequence. And these are the first harmonic amplitudes. As you can see, they are pretty comparable. And these are the stiffness values that we obtained in the 4 volunteers with a spin echo EPI and the gradient echo sequences. They are pretty comparable across. So the future work is now to expand this and start using this in more in all the volunteers or any patient studies so that we can acquire all the slices in a breath hold, which would be more advantageous than collecting each slice during the each breath hold, because any breath hold inconsistencies can cause some misregistration, so which would be an additional advantage. So conclusion, spin echo EPI yielded higher first harmonic amplitudes and similar aortic stiffness was observed between the spin echo EPI and gradient echo. Therefore, it is feasible to perform aortic MRE using a spin echo sequence and with the advantage of imaging patients possessing high body mass index, because you get a little more high SNR compared to the gradient echo sequence. With this, I thank everyone.
Thank you, Aaron. We have time for a few questions.
That's really good work, Arun. I was just wondering if you tried to add like a second bipolar gradient after the 180.
No, we did not, because we wanted to restrict the TE a little bit. So,
I see.
So I think with one bipolar, we should be sufficient. Our one-to-one gradient, we should be sufficient. We had enough sensitivity.
That's an error. Okay, cool.
Hi, thank you. The values that you report in Young's modulus are very different from what has been found in vitro or even in vivo with pulse wave methods, where Young's moduli are around 100 kilopascal. Do you think that's because of hypothesis of guided waves? I didn't understand if you considered the guidance of waves or nonlinearity or something, because there is 100 kilopascal difference almost.
Again, you have to understand that when we compare to different studies, we have to know in what conditions those were performed. At the same time, what is the frequency of excitations those were performed, or what are the, because as you know, the stiffness is frequency dependent, and again, in exactly, it's a wave-guided approach that we are following. So, and our inversion process is completely different from the inversion process that was used, and each inversion process can obtain a different stiffness values. And I have to exactly know what that is so that I can clearly explain the differences. Yes?
Along those lines, you're talking about, you're actually measuring a scaled wave speed, basically.
Yes. Your modulus is essentially a scaled wave speed rather than a true intrinsic material parameter. So I think that probably explains the majority of the difference.
Yes, exactly. You're right. There is undoubtedly, that's one of the factors. Again, we are guided by the structure itself right now, and which can influence our wave speed estimation.
One more question. Did you look into a transversal slice position?
No, we haven't, no.
So you always have this longitudinal view?
Yes.
Okay.
I also have a question about the actuator. Is that this adapter from the resonant that is used for the abdomen?
Yes, okay, it's not. Yes, exactly.